doesn't.
Sanders with a seam. Sanders with a cutback. And Sanders down the sideline. One to beat.
This is the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast from SB Nation.
Welcome once again to the Pride of Detroit podcast. It's the podcast, PODcast. Part of SB Nation, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, prideofdetroit.com. Check us out on iTunes. Leave a review. You should leave a review. We'll give you something nice if you then hit us up and say that you've left a review on iTunes, and maybe it's like a 5-star or 4-star or something. I don't know. Disclaimer, I actually don't know if we will give you something, but I'm going to make Jeremy Reisman come up with something. Who knows? Maybe we'll just retweet you and say you're very nice.
A nice Photoshop gift,
yeah. Speaking of that, favorite thing out there right now, the Stan Van Gundy rap album cover. Beautiful.
The best.
All right, let's get around here. So we got new to the podcast this week, our own Jerry Mallory. Hey, man.
What's happening, man? Hey, real quick, you know how many people would stumble across this podcast if it was 99, like trying to find a rock group, POD?
We've been debating that for a while.
It was probably like quadrupling numbers. They would just stumble across it looking for that great rock band.
I feel so alive.
Oh, wow.
All right, well.
Alex Reno there, editor yes. at Pride of Detroit as well.
How's it going, guys?
I'm not editor, you're a writer. What am I doing?
That's right. Ryan well, Matthews. Actually, I'm an editor. Anyway, I have my Molson Canadian six-pack next to me right here, so I'm ready to go.
We haven't done that for a while. It's the drink. I've got my mule here, and Ryan, we didn't explain this to Jerry before coming on here. We have this like drink tradition.
I've been listening, man.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Oh, Red Solo Cup.
Red Solo Cup on the webcam. The
Red Solo Cup.
It's empty though, man. I killed it before we got started. And it would be cool if I had something nice in it. It was just Sierra Mist. I'll be honest to you guys. Nothing cool in the Red Solo.
You got the Red Solo rep going on there. Ryan Matthews is the fourth person there, editor, and fresh from the battlefield at Ann Arbor.
That's right. What's going on, guys? It was a wild weekend down in Ann Arbor. Had a good time. I mean, everything came up aces, Spartian, right?
How many fights you get in?
I can't lie. I didn't get into any fights. I broke one up. There was a skirmish that I broke up, but it was all good. It was between two Spartan fans, and we don't need Spartan on Spartan crime.
No, that's terrible.
How does that even start? Wow.
Arguing who was happier or what?
Yeah, right.
Well,
right.
I had a better time.
Maybe it was like that one case down in like Alabama where I think someone got like shot over because they weren't despondent about a loss enough. They weren't Bama enough.
Hey, Roll Tide.
Hey, do you want to talk about being despondent? My one thing about that Michigan State game was that after Michigan State picked up that fumble and ran it in for a touchdown, every single Michigan fan in Ann Arbor is a recluse, and they all retreated back to their homes, closed their doors. But because there were enough Spartan fans down in Ann Arbor, the bars kept rolling all night. So it was a good time.
That's good. I think we should kind of limit how much we talk about that because I can hear Jeremy's blood boiling right now.
Lions!
Yeah, we got a Lions win to talk about. What are we doing talking about Sparty and Wolverines? Oh, my God. That win felt good, though.
Felt great. It felt great. I mean, it was a long time in the making. I mean, it felt like it took an eternity just to get a win in the column.
Four hours and a half.
Oh, literally just on Sunday it felt like a long time too. Oh. Yeah.
I was screaming at the top of my lungs. It was the greatest 10 seconds of my life.
That's what she said. Hey, what was really cool about it was the number of Bears fans that was there, man. It had to be probably, I don't know, it may have been 10,000 Bears fans. It was so many of them. And then the section right next to me, it was probably more Bears fans in that section for some reason. You know, with us being 0-5, I'm sure a lot of people sold their tickets for cheap. And so, like, seeing them despondent at the beginning, and they got so hyped once the Bears came back. And then when the Bears got that touchdown, took the lead, went for it, they must have came together because they were, like, in unison. and they just all started doing this little dance routine. They probably was waiting to bust out this routine for 2-3 hours. So they finally got to do it. I kid you not. They all broke in unison this dance routine. And so to see them go back down in the dumps at the end was great, man. I don't know what I enjoyed more, the Lions winning or seeing those Bears fans just completely sad and despondent.
I wish I had been there for that. Like when Stafford threw that bomb in overtime to Calvin Johnson, I was yelling at the TV. I could feel those Bears fans. I was just like, go home! Go home!
Yeah, hey, so Jerry, since you were at the game, speaking of that last play, were there any Bears fans that were up in arms about the apparent holding call that was missed?
No, I was sitting next to, I was on the end, and there was like 4 Bears fans next to me. I didn't really hear too much of that.
No, okay. It must be something that people went back and saw on Twitter and, you know.
Yeah, because I don't think it was something we really caught while we were there.
Okay. I imagine after that Golden Tate touchdown that some people were like, how is that a touchdown? I think after that people checked out on those refs, though.
Right.
Like.
Yeah, I mean, what's new with the NFL? It seems like week to week we're still trying to figure out what's a reception and what isn't, so.
I mean, they contradicted themselves, too, because they had a completely different thing. Because wasn't that the Devonta Freeman play?
Yep.
Like the week before? The Hawks, yep. Hawks, yep. Falcons? I mean, Falcons, Saints?
And he was a runner the entire time, though, right? Or was that a catch?
No, I think that was a catch.
I think it was a catch.
Okay.
I don't
know
really
what a catch
Saints
is
Falcons
anymore. It's insane.
I just like, was that almost the same date as the Fail Mary, too? Tate just seems to get in the middle of all of that, man.
He's always in the mix. Mm-hmm. Two of the coolest Bears fans I saw, one was dressed as Iron Man, which was nice. But then another guy, he was dressed like Ted. It was a full life size. He had a full teddy bear outfit on with a big, huge, oversized head, just like Ted in the bear.
Why would you dress as Ted?
He got a lot of attention, though.
Why not,
it worked. It was pretty cool.
Why not? Ted's an awful movie.
Hey, but
what?
Not every,
get out
hold
of
on,
here.
Hold on. Not everybody goes to a football game necessarily to just watch the football game. I mean, if you dress up as Ted, you're going to get a lot of attention. And there are some ladies that go to football games.
Man.
He knows what he's doing. He knows what he's doing.
Ladies that like Ted.
Ted is a ladies' man.
All right. I'll take your word on it, I
and
guess.
And it's a good movie, all right? I'm going to come right out and
sure.
Say
that. Sure.
All right. Let's turn this podcast into a debate about the the cinema merit of the movie Ted.
Favorite teddy bear movies. Go.
Favorite teddy bear movies.
Ted 1 and Ted 2.
Right.
All right. We're done. Speaking of fans, we actually had a super fan incident, it would seem. And I feel like we got to talk about this because this became a story real quick. And I think people didn't really follow up with what happened next. So, okay, what's his name? Is it Matthew Spring? If you don't know who we're talking about, the guy wears what was probably like one of his daughter's like Lions plushies on his head. As like one of those Roman like lion pelt things, he's got like the pads over top, and apparently he's got his ticket tattooed onto his arm with section
the
and everything.
Glasses with the Detroit glass. Lions glitter on it.
He's tricked out, and he got kicked out during that game. And he put up that video. What was he saying in that video? He was saying like they got thrown out for him and his buddy
Standing and cheering, basically, is what
his buddy, who's wearing a bandana, I should say.
Yeah, his buddy looks real hard in the video too. Does he? His buddy even say anything in the video? He's just kind of standing there,
mean
mugging. Yeah, he's the enforcer. He's his bodyguard, just mean mugging that camera.
And they said they got thrown out for cheering, which is like, okay.
Yeah, sure.
Now you guys don't think he sounded drunk. I could hear the bud in his voice though.
You know,
no, he was definitely wasted.
Yeah, see, maybe I just didn't take him. I didn't take him to be drunk watching the video one time through, just because there wasn't any like cursing or anything until he got to the end. And I think he said shit once, but that was it. So I feel like usually if you're drunk and you're just, you know, you just got ejected out of a football game, that you're just gonna go into like a profanity laced tirade.
No, he definitely was swearing though. Like, I heard a couple F bombs in there.
He was building up, and that's how that happens. Like, yeah, when you're like that, you gotta build yourself up like that. You gotta get to that froth.
Yeah, he was cutting some good promos there.
It was a hell of a wrestling promo, though.
Well, you know something, brother.
Oh no. Do I have do I have another wrestling fan in here too?
We can talk WWE, FE, whatever you want to call it.
I'm alone
for an hour after this, guys. I'm
Jerry, alone. Jerry, you are invited to every podcast from here on out.
Yes.
we're gonna just abandon football by the time WrestleMania comes along, isn't it?
Yep.
Oh, hell yeah.
POD is gonna turn into a wrestling blog. I swear. We're gonna take over cage side seats on SB Nation.
We're gonna merge.
You would have if we were 0-6. I feel like we'd be talking all about Hell in a Cell.
Just like NWO Hostile Takeover. We're gonna come with our spray paint and just
Jerry flexing that wrestling knowledge.
I see you, Jerry.
Let me ask you guys a question. So what Chris brought up, he said, you know, if we were 0-6, we'd probably be way off the rails by now. How do you guys feel that, like, now being 1-5, does that give any of you guys any sense of hope? Like, how do you feel, Reno?
Any sense of hope? Well, I don't think they're going to go 11-5, that's for sure.
You predicted 11-5 at the beginning of the year.
That's true, I did. But if I could make that prediction now, I would probably say, like, 5-11. But they beat the Bears, so I don't think the Bears are that good of a team, so I wouldn't say hope.
Jerry, your thoughts on it?
Yeah, you know, it's a small, very slight glimmer of hope. And the only reason I say that is because the NFC is kind of down. You look at those two wildcard teams, I think, you know, conceivably, that second wildcard team could be an 8-win team. After, like in the South, you got what, Carolina and Atlanta. So one would probably win the division. The other one would be a wild card. After that, it's like the NFC East is horrible. Then you got our division. So, I mean, I don't think we're going to make a run, but just from the fact that second wild card team might only win 8 or 9 games, we got just a small, small chance. And I think this next game in Minnesota will tell us, like, okay, maybe we can win 8 games, or we just beat a horrible Chicago team and we only win 5.
I think that's part two on the fact is, hey, is Seattle going to make a run or not? Because it feels like they could make a run, but I mean, right now they've not been the Seattle of yesteryear.
No, not at all. We should have beat them.
Yeah, I mean, that was that close.
And you know what? Yeah, that might be the game that comes back and haunts us, because I mean, they're looking like they're in control tonight against San Francisco. But I mean, if we end up winning that game, I think a lot of things change. Maybe we go into the Arizona game and things happen a little bit differently or whatnot, but
maybe
that might be the game we point to for all the wrong reasons. I mean, it's just a bummer how it ended, you know.
Seattle's what, 2-4 now?
Yep. 2-4, they're gonna be 3-4 at the end of the night.
And I think all four of those losses, they held a fourth quarter lead, and then if you count the Lions game, it could have been 1-5 and they blew a fourth quarter lead. So I just don't think they're a very good football team right now.
Yeah. Now, back on the Superfan, I'm sorry, we got kind of diverted there. Unless, did we not get someone else's thoughts on the rest of the season? Are we?
No, we're good.
We're good.
I've always just been calling it a chicken soup game. It makes you feel good, but you're still sick. I've been saying that.
Nice, now. I like that.
Yeah. So, on this Superfan, I hate that we're just now getting back to it, but he called in to 95.5 for some reason or another, and then it started coming in, and I just want to read some of this story. So callers disputed Spring's version of the events, including one caller who said her friend was sitting on the aisle wearing a Bears sweatshirt and that he called him a bitch. Spring didn't dispute that, but said that came after he was ejected. Another fan said he was given the finger, and then another fan said that Spring threatened to slap her son.
That's terrible.
Right. This guy was wilding out.
And that's the thing about it, too. It's like, you know, I'm semi-rowdy as a fan. I'm definitely not sitting on my hands. I get really loud. Mm-hmm. I do like to trash talk. I like to dog out the other team's players and their coaches and their situation if there's a fan of that team. But some of these guys have, like, a sense of entitlement. Like, you know, this is my first year with season tickets, but just being around some guys, they feel like because they're at every game, they're above the law. They can do and say what they want. It's like, it's a guy that sits behind us and, you know, how long have you been here? Oh, I've been here 12 years. It's like an air of confidence that some of these season ticket holders have. And I think that's the case with him. You know, he's been there so long, so he figured he can go above and beyond. But you can't disrespect someone's child. And he was definitely doing more than just clapping and standing. If that's the case, it would have been 60,000 ejections.
Yeah, honestly, that
story. I didn't believe that right from the get-go.
I had my own experience with one. I don't have season tickets. We went up last year for the Packers game, and I sat in front of guy. I believe his nickname is Crackman. I don't know his actual real name. He's like big fat white guy. He's got gray mustache. He wears his big thing is I guess he wears like jean overall shorts and a hard hat.
Sounds awesome.
And I mean that game. If you remember that Packers game at all last year. The Lions did not trail that entire game against a really good Packers team, just beat them out. But this guy just sat there the whole game cursing nonstop, like arms crossed, swearing and shouting at the field. And I mean, we were in the lower bowl too. And I was just like, man, can you just give it a rest for a second?
Let me enjoy my time here.
Well, I mean, usually people who show up to the game like that, they feel entitled because I think we kind of went over this, but I mean, they paid their ticket. They feel like they're entitled to voice their opinion and say what they want. But a lot of people don't understand that freedom of speech is you have the right to say anything you want, but there's consequences. So
yeah. Threatening to slap someone's child. It's like, really? Come on.
Really?
Not cool.
Yeah.
Not cool. Mm. Not cool.
Especially when that, I mean, he's growing up a Bears fan. He's got worse coming to him in time.
Yeah. One of the funniest things I saw, it wasn't necessarily like a super fan situation. This was back in 04. Mm. And I won some on the radio on 11:30 a.m. way back when. I won this contest, and they sent us down to Jacksonville to see the Lions and the Jaguars just to see how some of these drunk fans get. Now, at this time, I think the Lions are probably 1-5. The Jaguars are like 2-something crazy. It was at least 10 fights between Lions fans and Jaguars fans. I'm sitting here thinking, our team suck. You know, they're not fighting on the field. You guys want to, you know, you guys want to fight each other. I'm sitting here laughing at them, man. It's you know, that liquid courage hits, man. You know, guys do some crazy things. But, you know, it's important to remember that, you know, it's consequences with everything. So this guy's got to do his little rehab, his little 30-day anger management intervention thing, you know. A la Andy Bernard from The Office. So he's got to suck up and take it, man.
Of all the two teams in the NFL, the Lions and Jags.
Yeah, I know, man. They were so bad that year.
What happened to Cat Team Brotherhood?
Yeah, it was horrible. Right. It was horrible. It was just funny, man.
That was before the pool at the Jags place, too. Man. Hmm. Yeah.
Eddie Drummond ran for two return touchdowns that game.
I think I remember that game. Yeah, now that you just say that.
Yep, we lost in OT. Eddie Drummond. And it was like a bad coaching play or something where whoever their coach was for the Jaguars at the time, he could have ran the clock out, but he decided to throw on third down, and that allowed Eddie Drummond. It was a fun game, but to see two fan bases that got really nothing to cheer for fighting, that just shows that liquid courage to get you sometime.
Who was the coach that year? Was that Jack Del Rio?
May have been Jack.
That was Jack Del Rio. Oh, my God.
I think that was like the year before they were like the Cardiac Cats and they were winning all those close games. Yeah. And that year they just
the most well-dressed coach in the NFL.
Yeah, hey, guess what? Jack Del Rio still has a head coaching job somewhere in the NFL today.
Oh my, are you kidding?
11 years later.
Where is he? Hold up.
He's in Denver, Oklahoma, right? Yeah, he's Denver.
You've got to be kidding me.
I think he's the head coach at Oakland, isn't he?
Oh, that's right. I'm sorry. It's Oakland. That's right. Yeah.
Well, yeah, he was at Denver last year as a coordinator, right?
Yeah, yes. He's Oakland's head coach, though. That's right.
Oh, like, yeah. Man. Oakland has a football team. That's right.
Football team with a better record than the Lions.
Yeah. Oh.
And they have Amari Cooper, who's fun to watch, man. But
and Derek Carr, who I love. Derek Carr's looking good. I love him as a quarterback. But this isn't an Oakland podcast, so we should probably get back on the Lions. There's two things coming out, right? It's like Calvin Johnson finally had a really good game with Stafford. And
Joe Lombardi in the booth.
Joe Lombardi got put in the box.
That's right.
So I remember seeing something today on Twitter. There was a press conference with Lombardi that happened today, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep. You're right.
Yep. And he made a comment about just being up in the booth and how it differs from being down in the field and kind of like that kind of like that tension you have down there when you have guys who aren't getting the ball and you kind of feel pressured. You feel pressure to, you know, move the ball around the field to certain players who are pouting.
Yeah, I noticed he once again took a swipe at the players. He always seems to do that. Like, he last does. Few weeks has been execution, and now it's about guys pouting if they don't get the ball. So,
yeah,
I'm still waiting for him to pull the classic. We're gonna go back to wrestling. Sorry, Chris. I'm waiting for him to pull the classic wrestling move, like maybe at the end of the season, and he's at a press conference. He's got his little Lions jacket on, for him just to rip it off, and it shows like a big Green Bay shirt. This whole time, it's been the screw job, man. He's part of the Lombardi Packers organization.
That last,
man.
Yeah, it's the family. It's the family.
I'm waiting for it. One game. It's going to take more than one game or to go up in the booth to convince me that this guy is just – inept as
well. I think Lombardi has wanted to go up in the booth, though, right? I think it was Caldwell was the one that was refusing to let him even go up there for the longest time because he wanted to have him talking to Stafford on the sideline.
Right. Yeah.
So it takes an 0-5 start to finally send him up to the booth.
And why, if you're Caldwell, why are you so concerned about having Lombardi down in the field? I mean, can't we have other? Can't we have like Cooter?
Yeah, you got Cooter.
Yeah, we got Jim Bob Cooter down there.
Jim Bob Cooter, that is a Southern
Jimbo
name.
Jimbo Cooter.
Yeah, I mean, why can't we just have him down? Why can't we have him down on the sidelines relaying anything that Lombardi wants to get to him from the booth? I mean, Austin's up in the booth. I mean,
yeah, I don't. There's some things that Caldwell does that leaves me scratching my head.
Oh my gosh,
like
the decision, we have to talk about that decision to go for the field goal at the end of the game. That was the worst
thing I've ever seen. Know at the time that Issa Abdul-Kudus made the decision to, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right.
I think it's Kudus.
Kudus, here, thank you. That he made the decision to do the fake punt. Because I at first was like, all right, Caldwell made something nice, and then
he kicks the
field goal down 7 on that same drive. And I'm just like, what are you doing?
Yeah,
the worst part is it worked out for him. I mean, it's great that we won, but people are going to praise him for that now.
Yeah, I kind of lost it at that point. I was sitting there. I became one of those belligerent fans because to me, it just made absolutely no sense. If you're down 7, You need a touchdown to tie the game. If you kick a field goal, you're relying on your defense to give you the ball back, which they haven't forced but like 1 or 2 punts all game. But let's say they give you the ball back, you still need a touchdown because you're down 4 points, man.
Yeah, and I don't really buy into this whole idea that like, oh, it's set up so that like the Lions could have avoided the Bears who marched down the field like 80 yards in 20 seconds.
Right.
Unbelievable to set up that game tying field goal that might have been game winning, but I mean, you could. I don't want to do the math on that because now we're getting all the way back, but still, just at the time, it just infuriated me. And you know what infuriates me the most about it is like, this is a guy last year who went for it the most on fourth down in the NFL.
Yeah, Jim Caldwell showed some balls last year,
right up until he decided to punt from the Cowboys. What was it, the Cowboys 40? And then it shanks like 10 yards, yeah, and now Sam he's Martin. Turned into this.
Sam Martin, baby. I still worry about him in a clutch situation. Like, there's been a few clutch moments where he's just completely wet the bed. We might not even run into that this year because our record. But I worry about him in big moments because I think he had a horrible play against, I want to say the Bengals, too. It was like a shank punt.
Yeah,
you know?
It was the Bengals.
Yeah.
And I think the Bengals came back.
He's been nursing that left knee for a while now, too. I don't know what's going on there. That knee might worry me, but I'm kind of marveling that we somehow got to the punter.
Oh, wait. Hold on. Wait, do we want to talk about punters?
Yeah, let's talk about punters.
Reno, let's talk about punters.
Okay.
So that 10 seconds of,
That was the buzzword.
Oh, that poor Michigan punter, man. And that's all Harbaugh's fault. I'm sorry.
I mean, I'm more amazed that he like was like kicking like everything he did in that game, that 80-yard punt, just all wiped
out. That was the reason they were winning.
It all goes out the window when you screw up and when Harbaugh, why are you not in Max Protect?
Exactly. No, there's nobody back there, you know? It's crazy.
But let's get away from this.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reno wants to get away from it. Wow.
No, I don't, but... I'm afraid that we're going to lose our fan base here. So,
okay, that's true.
We do have a very blue fan base in more than one way of the blue.
Sean Yule's probably listening too, man. Let's be respectful.
Respectful to the founder. He's actually he works for Michigan.
Rest in peace, Sean Yule.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, just taking a sip there. Yeah, I think we covered that ground pretty well. You guys want to talk about the Vikings?
Let's get into it.
So, I'm trying to think where to really attack on the Vikings right now, because, I mean, Adrian Peterson's, hate to say it, inconsistent, I think.
Adrian Peterson does not look like himself.
Well, at first of the year, I thought it was like, okay, he's adjusting to playing that shotgun offense that Teddy gets to run out of. But then he had, like, the game against us in Minnesota, and then now it's, like, he's just been up and down.
Yeah, he's, like, hit or miss. Like, Pro Football Focus has that breakaway percentage stat, which is, like, the percentage of your yardage being 15 yards or more runs or whatever. And it's a high percentage, so he's either running for, like, 1 to 2 yards, or he's hitting, like, a 20-yard run. So he's pretty boom or bust this year.
Jerry, you're getting in something there?
Yeah, that's like with the running backs, you just never know when it's over. You know, they can come in 1 year, and so you just don't know with him. He is 30, and so, you know, could this be it? Could this be he just finally hit that wall? You know, it's weird with running backs. The 1 year they'll come in, look great, and then, you know, they're Priest Holmes, they're Sean Alexander, they're Clinton Portis, man. So, you know, let's just hope he doesn't have like a revival or rejuvenates his career this Sunday.
And you know what? It's kind of like the same. I feel like it's almost the same dynamic with how we feel as a fan base about Calvin Johnson, because we just think of that guy as just an absolute like athletic freak, where we think of Adrian Peterson. I mean, I'm sure Vikings fans think of Peterson and the entire NFL for that fact. Like, the guy came back from ACL surgery in how long? Took him like 7 or 8 months. And he's back on the field and he's tearing it up. Like, I think we kind of just think that, you know, Peterson is incapable of breaking down in the same way that we aren't really sure that Calvin can ever break down either. He's Megatron, baby.
He took that year away from football, too. Like, man, you get away from that and now you're trying to get on back with it. It's actually funny. I'm looking at rankings on Football Outsiders for running back. Adrian Peterson is ranked 36th, and at 37th is Ameer Abdullah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, AP was like kind of middle of the pack on Pro Football Focus's grades too, so.
I mean, obviously this is a Lions defense that is still getting a little banged up, so anything can happen, but you might have Nada back, you might have, I mean, once again, losing Levy for the year, I don't know what to do with this defense. And now Jason Jones is banged up a little bit too.
Wait, for the year is he... like for sure out for the year?
He's gonna get hip surgery. He's gonna be done for the year.
Well, he already had hip surgery. I mean, 20 men today, you know, he made a note of saying, you know, Levy didn't practice. They haven't made like a decision on him whether or not they're gonna put him on long term IR or not, but I mean, it's not looking like he's gonna come back, but it's a good sign that we're getting, you know, potentially our best defensive run stopper in Nada back. I mean, Ansa's looked really good this year in terms of run defense. So, you know, hopefully that combined with Adrian Peterson's inconsistencies will kind of result in you know, a winning recipe once, for the defense.
You've seen him once already this year. You can make the adjustments. And you got the
they don't
tape
want to
now.
Commit on the decision with Levy because he can still come back for the playoffs. That's why.
Oh yeah, the playoffs.
Yeah, Reno's still conducting that 11-5 express.
You guys think it's going to be any bad blood? You know, that it had the whole cheap shot thing with Stafford, and it was a couple of late hits. And then Peterson, he came on, I think, a couple of days ago and just, you know, told the team, the Lions, to suck it up because Golden Tate, you know, mentioned about the cheap shots. And Peterson just said, you know, he needs to just suck it up. Their team needs to suck it up. You think it's going to be a little extra bad blood, some chippiness?
I think there's always going to be bad blood between division rivals anyway. So
definitely. I mean, old black and blue. I've got to imagine that the refs have been told to basically like keep an eye out for that and get guys to knock it off, because it feels like this has been circled in the calendar for some of those guys to get a little revenge in.
Oh, yeah.
Like some of those guys, like Ezekiel Ansah is going to try to eat Teddy Bridgewater at some point.
I mean, if there's one guy on that line who can do it, it's him.
Yeah.
And he's had a lot of success against Matt Khalil, so...
Yeah, that's and Lombardi made a comment today, too, during his presser, saying that the offensive line just has to do a better job of protecting Stafford and not giving Minnesota defenders the chance to tee off on him. So I think everybody's kind of just aware of it and being cognizant of the fact that, you know, Stafford did get the sh- he got the hell beat out of him.
Yeah. Well, what do you guys do with the offensive line, right? Because, I mean, you actually finally had a game where they could put up a pocket. Granted, again, Bears. But, I mean, you are seeing more time. Lakin Tomlinson starting to seem a little more comfortable in that position.
He had the highest grade on PFF.
Yeah, and maybe the center who, again, I keep forgetting the name off the top
Swanson,
of my head.
Nick Swanson. Year,
the Samsonite? No, just playing. Dumb and Dumber reference.
Swami, Sally, Swami.
I mean, you got Wofford healthy again. You got Waddle healthy again. I mean, I don't know. Like, do you see is this offensive line going to play better this week, you think?
Waddle has been terrible even so when good. Healthy this yeah, year.
So. Luke and Lucas, is that even possible?
And Lucas, it seems like he's not even sure whether he's going to be on the team for very long from what he's been tweeting about lately.
Did he do? So. Yeah, he did that Brandon Pettigrew, it's just business type of tweet.
The Fourier tweet.
Not Pettigrew, yeah. Fourier, yeah. I'm sorry.
Like, Lucas, just business isn't the guy that got brought in from the practice squad. Just business is how bad you sucked. You know what I mean? That's what the issue is. Not that they're bringing in some guy from a practice squad.
I'm glad Jerry was able to say that because I didn't want to.
Yeah, you know, put Pettigrew, when he gets healthy, just keep him on the right side. Because Pettigrew, mm-hmm. for all that we say about him bad, he is an excellent blocker. You know, he's one of the best. Keep him on the right side.
I've been ragging on Pettigrew for a long time, but we need him. Like, yep. Tim Wright is such an awful goodness. Blocker on run,
and,
runs,
Ebron,
passes. He's bad.
You maybe
he's like breakdancing out there.
You maybe get Ebron back this week, but he's not designed to be a blocker. Ebron is one of those catching tight ends, but
what about Pettigrew status? I know that Lombardi made a comment today too. I know I keep on talking about Lombardi, but I'm hopefully that's just a buzzword of the week. But like he made a comment about how he found out that Pettigrew wasn't going to be ready to go real late on Sunday, right before the game, and that kind of threw everything through a loop, and they had to like game plan like Lucas, like almost kind of playing that like tight end role.
Well, somewhere along the way, Pettigrew added to his injury. I believe he just had a knee injury, and now somehow he's injured his elbow, and he hasn't practiced all week yet.
He hasn't practiced all week? Well,
yeah, that's not good.
That's not good because we need somebody to chip Anthony Barr.
I will say, when they do want to block up there, they've been running those sets with six offensive linemen, and it seems to work.
Yeah, they're bringing in Lucas. They're using Michael Burton as a blocking tight end. They're trying to do whatever they can, and it's for the most part it hasn't been working except for against the Bears.
And we're seeing fullback play, which is like, oh, okay.
Yeah, Michael Burton's good, man.
Yeah,
good. Not words you hear much about a fullback, but we recognize
the
fullback.
He's a legitimate fullback.
But I guess to kind of go back to your original question, Chris, I think that the more that this offensive line gets a chance to gel and be a cohesive unit together, yeah. I mean, the more good things we're going to be able to see out of them. I mean, right. Sans Lucas and Sans Waddle, apparently.
And aside for the fact that they're all pretty much bad at zone blocking, but you know.
I still need to see something out of Swanson. I always keep saying the center is just so important up there, and you know, it's showing without Raiola.
If he's not calling protections, he better at least be good at blocking.
Something, anything.
Yeah, please.
Is it me, or does it feel like, you know, Brian Robinson, if he played against the rest of the NFL the way he played against the Lions, he'd be a Hall of Famer, man. It seems like Robinson is and I know they got Barr and Sheriff Floyd. It seems like Robinson, you know, for the last 2 years, is always in the backfield, you know, knocking Stafford down.
Yeah, just causing mayhem.
But he obviously doesn't do it against the rest of the league, or he'd be a Pro Bowler, man. But he wreaks havoc against us, man. We gotta, and I think he's on that left side too, if I'm not mistaken. So he'll be the one, you know, going up against Waddle and Lucas. They gotta do something about him, man.
Well, you mentioned Sheriff Floyd in there. All I know is he hasn't practiced all week for the Vikings yet. He might That's be true. Out. Yeah. So you got that working for you.
Yeah, Robeson is like Travis Hafner against the Tigers.
Good point. Pronk.
So what about the running back situation heading into this week, guys?
Well, Zenner's out, so your savior's gone.
That's actually your savior, Chris.
No, no. That was our first podcast. I got lit up because I.
We all did because we piled on Zenner. Yeah, whatever, Reno. But yeah, so no, I was kind of waiting for Chris to play taps for Zenner.
No, I'm not. No, no. I feel bad for him. He, you know, that's kind of.
Oh no, that's a bummer, man.
Bummer.
Yeah, that's a terrible.
I mean, it looked for a second like Abdullah was going to be the only back, and I'm just like, oh no. I mean, I put up part of my article was defending Abdullah, that these things kind of take time. The unfortunate thing is that it does take time, and it means that we still have that for now. I think he settles down, though, but, I mean, you might have Theo Riddick back this week. You might have Joik Bell back. I don't know how good that is, but, I mean, they were getting the ball off to Riddick for a few plays.
And if Abdullah's fumbling, that's just terrible for this offense. Because as much as I thought Riddick was improved as a runner, he was dancing a little bit against the Bears, and I just don't think he's just not a feature back.
He tied his like career high rush at 9 yards, from what I heard on the broadcast. Yeah,
and hopefully Joik Bell can be or show a little bit more burst. Because I mean, when you're running like a zone stretch with Joik Bell, you're automatically like just throwing him out there to fail. Like, it makes no sense to throw an outside zone run with Joik Bell.
I mean, that's how you get 1.1 yards a carry.
Exactly.
And, I mean, that's kind of Abdullah. I mean, I heading into this year, I had such high hopes for Abdullah because I envisioned him as, like, the yin to Joik Bell's yang. I mean, he was going to be the change of pace back that, you know, Reggie Bush couldn't do consistently week in and week out. I mean, how do you feel about it, Jerry?
Yeah, it's kind of disappointing. But I think it's just too early for Abdullah. And when you look at him, as soon as he gets the ball, as soon as any of those guys get the ball, when there's three or four defenders there, I mean, what can you do? If your name isn't Barry Sanders. And so I'm not worried about Abdullah. Hopefully, you know, the situation with the fumbles improves. But it's just kind of sad, though, too, that they put so much resource in the first two rounds all into this running game, because this offense really needs a running game to click. You know, in New Orleans, people talked about how prolific Drew Brees was. They always had a solid running game, you know. They had three or four running backs. They needed 3 or 4 yards. So to put all this resource in the running game and to be like this, it's just disappointing, man. It's very disappointing. So yeah. I think Abdullah would be fine.
Yeah, I mean, we're back to like 2012 numbers as far as what the running game is, which was like dead last in the league. And it's just like, oh, okay, we're back here. We're once again back here. We've got more talent in the run game, but we're just right back here. I don't know, like, what to do with it. I'm just, yeah, it is what it is. Do you guys want to take some questions?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, so, I mean, first question we had here was actually, will you guys actually get to the questions this week from Alex Stahl at Lethal Sacks? He asked me that.
Yeah, we can cross that off.
Cross it off. We got the questions, Alex. So there you go.
We should end it right there. We say yes, answer that question, and then
yeah, hit the NWO music right now. Let's get out of here.
Can end with that stuff. I don't want to check the Facebook to see what we got, but I do have one more question from Twitter. Sam Wickinson asks, "Do you think Lombardi was upstairs on game day more because of fear of fans or for a new perspective?"
I think they had to do it. I mean, it just seems like that's what Lombardi has wanted to do from the get-go, and Caldwell was just probably like, well, we're 0-5, let's switch something up. I mean, I think there was no choice, really.
Yeah, and that's probably Caldwell's way of panicking. He's such a stoic guy, and he's very deliberate. This is probably his sign of saying, okay, things aren't working. We got to try something different. And I just don't know why if a guy who's your coordinator and you built this offense around his vision, you drafted a tight end probably because of his vision, you're running his vision of a blocking scheme, why you go this far with a coordinator, but then he wants to go in the booth and you don't let him, you know? If you give him this much leeway, give him the whole thing, you know. Don't give him 99 and leave out another thing that he really wanted. So I'm glad they let him go up, but I don't think that's going to make a difference. But at least at this point, you can throw all of the reasons out the window. If the offense starts to sputter again, then what can you say, Lombardi?
Yeah, I mean, Caldwell's always been inscrutable. I'm not one of those guys who plays the game of if he's getting fired up or not, but yeah, just sometimes it's just I kind of wonder what's going up in that head of his sometimes.
He like my question
shows
is
shows no emotion.
Everybody thinks that he's looking calm on the field, and my question is he looking calm or is he just confused 100% of the time?
Yeah, or is he just in a catatonic state where he's just like deer in the headlights, like what's going on?
He's flashing back to when he was coaching at Wake Forest
those aren't good flashbacks.
The big Wake Forest fan Chris Lemieux here.
No, he wasn't there when I was at Wake Forest. Oh. I'll tell you that much. No.
Caldwell's like Chewbacca. You seen those shirts where it has like 50 different emotions and it's the same Chewbacca? That's Caldwell, man. Probably whatever's going on in his head, we don't see it. We see that same glare, you know.
What did Spencer Hall say, one of the SB Nation writers for college football? He called Caldwell like Coach Asimo after one of those like Japanese robots.
That's fitting.
All right, let's see what else we got here. Tuffy Lynx asks, the Lions offense performed much better against the Lions than any time this season. In fact, it was one of the best efforts under Joe Lombardi. To what do you attribute this success? And I can talk, I swear. Specifically, how much of it should be credited to Lombardi? This is new. Like this week, I've been not taking any Lombardi questions because you guys just wanted to talk about firing him. And this week, we're actually taking two Lombardi questions. It's a new day.
Yeah, I mean, I can't really put any of the blame on Lombardi. I mean, he had a really good – I thought he was doing better with the play calls, aside from like a TJ Jones reverse or something in the fourth quarter, which was bad. But I thought being up in the booth, he did a pretty good job. But again, we keep bringing this up, but we played the Bears. They're not very good. So, but I would put some definitely some credit in Joe Lombardi.
I don't know, maybe it was the offensive line. Like, you know, you look at the fact that Stafford threw the ball down the field a lot more. You know, could it be that Lombardi this whole time has had some deep shot provision plays, you know, but Stafford just hasn't had the time, you know, to throw the ball. You know, so it's hard to say. And I hate not to answer the question, but it's really like an incomplete until we see them against a little bit better team this week.
Yeah, one game sample size. You got a great point there, Jerry, and it's something I've been thinking about, of just how few times they've gotten the ball to Calvin Johnson. And I've been thinking to myself, like, it's not getting out to Calvin, it's not getting out to tape. Maybe it's just that the routes are just taking way too long to develop.
Well, it's also kind of, you still have Calvin lined up on the outside. Take a look at what Arizona has done this year with Larry Fitzgerald in the slot. Like, I mean, those plays where you have Calvin on the outside, those are plays that you have to have time for Stafford to sit and make a read, and you have to have time for that play to develop before you can throw the ball. So,
absolutely. All right, what was the next question here? Let's see. Actually, speaking to an earlier subject, will the Lions come out dirty with how the game went down in Minnesota? Again, I think the refs are going to be keyed in on this. They're going to tell these guys straight up, like, look, just drop the bad blood.
No, we got rid of Jim Schwartz, right? The players don't play dirty anymore. They don't have an edge anymore.
Isn't that why we got Caldwell to bring a sense of calm here?
Yeah, the inmates were running the asylum, right?
So, yeah, I mean, dirty is the wrong word for me. It's playing stupid, which has completely not changed from going from Schwartz to Caldwell.
I think Brandon Pettigrew, I don't know if he's going to play or not. I think as far as the offense goes, he's probably the one player I would see, you know, maybe doing something dirty. Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. You know, he'd probably be lined up against Anthony Barr.
Oh, yeah.
Trying to block him. So I don't know if Pettigrew's going to play. I think he's like the resident goon of the team. I think even on his Twitter, he kind of alludes to the fact that he's like the goon of the team, at least for the offense. So if he doesn't play, we probably don't see anything. If he plays, yeah, we might see a little something, a little action, a little extracurricular.
I believe it. I remember, I mean, going all the way back to 2011, in that Saints playoff game, it was him and Titus Young who were just gooning it up. And they're the ones who got all the personal foul flags. So
Pettigrew's got a mean streak.
Pettigrew's the enforcer?
Yeah, he's the enforcer.
The hockey enforcer here? All right.
He's got a little edge. I interviewed him like 3 years ago, man.
Yeah?
He's I interviewed him like 3 years ago, and I asked him about the drop passes. And you know, it was over the phone, but I felt like he wanted to find me where I was and punch me, man. He didn't like it at all. You know, so he's got a little edge to him, pedigree for sure. I'm glad it was over the phone because I think he may have punched me or something if I was in person.
Okay, what else we got here? Question for what he calls a smart guy. Sorry, Jeremy, but there's no Jeremy here, so you don't need to worry about that. Why have a fullback on the roster if you use him like a glorified water boy? I feel like this is a question for like the entire NFL.
Wait, they use him as a glorified what?
Water boy.
Water boy.
See, I don't think that's true. I don't think that's true. Been doing good. He's got the second highest run blocking grade on Pro Football Focus for the team, so he's doing something.
Right. I think this is more an NFL-wide question, though. Like, right? Like, the fullback is kind of an endangered species.
Well, yeah. It's not the days of Mike Allstott and Corey Schlesinger anymore. I mean, things have changed in the NFL. But like, I mean, we talked about it earlier when Reno was talking about how Burton is kind of flexing out and playing that that tight end blocking role almost. So, I don't know. He has a use.
He's caught a couple passes too, if I recall. I think he's being used. He's being used a good amount.
I could have sworn he had like a goal line rush too.
For how bad your run game is too, like you need him right now. He's one of your best run blockers.
Right.
Yeah, that was the one thing I was not enthused about with Zach Zenner. Zach Zenner was not blocking anyone.
No, he is not much of a
blocker. And he's a little bigger too, so you would think he'd have it in him, you know.
I remember one of those, the Arizona early on when I was still watching the Arizona game, like he just made a business decision, just got out of the way for someone for Stafford. Just woof.
Yeah, I think I tweeted something about that, Chris, and you were right on top of it too. It was bad. And I mean you think that like we alluded to, like he's a bigger back, but like he's kinda like that back who invites contact and he just isn't a blocker.
Yeah. Let's see here. Getting some of the casual questions. I don't know how to answer this one. Best Arrested Development chicken dance, and why is it Gob?
Yeah, we need Jeremy in here for that.
I've never seen Arrested Development.
You've never seen? Okay, so his name is Job, but I guess I can answer this question because all of you guys had blank stares on your face.
I mean, I've watched a little bit of Arrested Development, but I haven't seen enough.
I don't even know what the show's about.
Job has the best chicken dance, so we can move on to the next question.
Okay, next question, another casual one. What fast food restaurant is the best analogy for our season?
What? That's a weird question. I'll let somebody else take that one for now.
I think I've got an answer for this, actually.
All right, Chris, you go first, because I'm still thinking.
Well, it's got to be something just greasy and messy and just kind of very disturbing, right?
Five Guys.
I'm going to go greasier than Five Guys. It's not a restaurant.
There's nothing greasier than that bag that they give you.
All those extra fries.
The bag of fries, Cajun fries.
Yeah. Last time I saw one of those bags.
I had that today, actually.
Oh, my God. So I was in Kansas City one time, and we got Five Guys on a Sunday, and there were some people in their Sunday finest praying over those greasy bags when we went in to get our burgers. It was wonderful. But, no, there's a place down in South Carolina, in the Carolinas and the Tennessee singular, that is even more greasy. It's called Cookout. I think I've said this off air about Cookout. You can go there and you can get a corn dog on the side.
Yep, you mentioned that, definitely.
So I would say this is probably a Cookout and just how it makes you feel after eating all this, or it's maybe like... I can hear that, Alex.
Oh, sorry.
You're whipping around that info. I can hear it.
I keep forgetting, I'm sorry.
Thank you. Or I would say maybe Steak and Shake, because Steak and Shake is just, ugh.
I would say McDonald's, man. As far as the Lions, especially this season, McDonald's is one of the worst, but people just keep coming back, you know? It's still one of the highest selling. People still keep coming. People go to McDonald's and know it's bad, and they still come back, and it ends up in the toilet way too sooner than it should. Mm.
Probably do Taco Bell in here too, about if we're talking about toilet.
Taco smell.
Yeah, actually, I wouldn't even say like biggest selling for the Lions, because aren't we like, isn't the Lions like the 30th in value of all the NFL franchises?
Yeah, we don't make a ton of money. But our fan base keeps coming, though. We keep spending for
them. True.
Yeah, I don't think there's a better answer than what Jerry just said.
Yeah, so.
I'm good on McDonald's.
Okay. McDonald's it is. We'll just maybe like one of those breakfast burritos from McDonald's.
Breakfast all day.
All day, baby.
Do we have anything else? I think we actually just got through all of the questions. Oh, I've got one more here from Morgadoo. What are we going to do about the linebackers for the rest of the year?
I don't know. What are we going to do, Jerry?
Well, you know, for me, what I would like to see, and I've been talking about this, I feel like Stephen Tulloch, and he has gotten better. Now, early on, Stephen Tulloch looked really bad, but he's gotten a little bit better. I feel like Tahir Whitehead did a really good job as a middle linebacker last year. I would like to see Tahir Whitehead starting. And this idea I had was back when I thought Levy would come back. I would like to see Tahir Whitehead in the middle, then Josh Bynes and DeAndre Levy on the outside. But with Levy still being out, I still want to see Whitehead in the middle a little bit more. I think he did solid last year. And then you throw some Bynes in there, and Tulloch can be the replacement for Whitehead. That still leaves a hole on that outside, though.
Well,
I would love to see Van Noy get some run, but I guess he's just not playing good enough.
You know, I was going to throw out the international man of mystery, Kyle Van Noy. We haven't seen for a while now. Like, what? I don't even know what's going on with Van Noy. The only time I see him play is on special teams.
Well, yeah, was it? It was the Arizona game. Was the Arizona game? He was a healthy scratch.
Yeah, something. It was either Arizona or it was Seattle. I forget.
Yeah,
which.
I mean, when your second round pick from, a couple of years ago, it just isn't getting any play. Not good.
Yeah, that's
not good.
Confusing. Like, he had that one play against Minnesota where he completely took out the fullback, almost sacked Teddy Bridgewater before he dumped it off to Adrian Peterson for like the 50-yard run or however long it was.
Yeah, that freak circus play. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. And I've been hearing that he's had some good practices, too, so I think we might see him.
Is he just in a doghouse or something for Caldwell or Austin?
I have no idea. Like, the linebacker position is just, since preseason and training camp, when we weren't even having Tahir Whitehead listed as a starter, I was completely caught off guard by that because I thought he was great last year.
Yeah,
I think you should probably even consider starting him over Tulloch in the middle because Tulloch's been so bad this year.
Yep. And then Travis Lewis, I don't know what the coaching staff love about him, but he keeps getting a nod over Whitehead. Doesn't make a lot of sense to me either. I don't know how they're doing. I don't know what the logic is, but you know, like Alex said,
really
Whitehead's
good at anything.
So it's weird, you know.
Yeah, and I mean, this is the position where the Lions just keep getting beat. It's just. And that's the position you really can't, because right now the NFL is going to that, you know, middle passing game up the dink and dunk over the middle, and just they're just getting beat there nonstop. And I don't know what to really do. Runs up there. I just don't know what to do with it.
And if they're front four, like let's say Nada comes back, the front four is doing an admirable job at stopping the run. Maybe they can just be nickel heavy, like big time. You know, run way more nickel packages, and then I'd be comfortable with Bynes and Whitehead. I just don't know who that third linebacker is that I'm comfortable with Levy out. If they could be a little more nickel heavy, just have Whitehead and Bynes out there doing it, and then just have that third cornerback, you know, that I might be more comfortable with that even, if they could stop the run, you know, primarily with just two linebackers.
Right. You could probably run the nickel and then put Caduce out there. I mean, he's pretty much the only guy that they have that can play like the hybrid safety linebacker position.
Yeah, that's right. I think that's about it here for the week. We might actually been, this is about like 52 minutes. So any closing thoughts about game coming up or the Lions or anything else that's on your mind, guys?
Well, if you're going to Ford Field this weekend, don't act like a canoe. Just
a decanoe.
Enjoy the football game. Cheer. Be respectful of one another. We're all
no
in
standing
it together.
And cheering, or you
no
like
maybe
out.
Maybe only limit yourself on how many beers you're getting there. They can be a little expensive.
Yeah, don't take your debit card or credit card in with you. Take a set amount of cash. It's like you're going to the casino, and enjoy yourself. I mean, when you're 1-5, all you can do is sit back and watch and.
Have fun.
Take a one play at a time, right?
You know what? Yep. I don't, at this point, if we get more wins, I'm going to be happy about those wins. I'm not going to worry about the big picture at this point.
No, it's way too early to talk about tanking. That's just not fun.
Well, no. Actually, I did have one more question here about who should Lions that I saw on Facebook, which was who should the Lions take with the third pick.
Oh, God.
I'm just like,
what? Third pick. It's an arbitrary number here. Yeah. Ronnie Stanley, if I'm going to answer that question. Definitely Ronnie Stanley.
Ronnie Stanley.
Yes.
Another zone blocker, Notre Dame
on offensive tackle.
Is Michigan's punter going to be eligible? We could take him.
I agree with offense. Offensive lineman would be good. Actually.
Offensive lineman would be good.
Yeah, maybe Laramie Tunsil. Although Stanley does fit the scheme more, I think Tunsil, if I'm pronouncing that right, might be the better.
You got it right, yeah.
I like Tunsil more than Stanley, but he hasn't played at all this year yet, so I'm waiting to see him. And yeah, Stanley is a perfect fit for the scheme.
I think Tunsil does play this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, he does.
He's back.
He's going to go up against Myles Garrett.
That's the thing, though. I mean, we might be drafting for a whole new scheme next year, guys.
Hopefully.
Yeah, that's also a good point. Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, it's kind of depressing talking about the draft right now and thinking, like, what guys are going to fit, like, Lombardi's scheme. And I'm like, I don't want that guy to fit.
It's still October.
It's October, I know.
We're still wearing pink on every – we still have to watch pink for, like, what is it, one more weekend of pink.
Yeah. One more game of pink.
All right, guys, we're going to take off from here. Pistons start this weekend, too. I think it's
Halloween, right?
Wednesday is the home opener, I think. I might try to get up there because that'll be fun. And
they open up in Atlanta on Tuesday, so that'll be cool.
That's right. Yeah, I wish I was still living down there because those usually cheap enough to get Hawks tickets, but you do what you do.
I mean, the tickets for the Pistons home opener are pretty cheap, too. I think I was on StubHub the other day just kind of looking at it, and they're around like $10. So
yeah, they won't stay that way, I'll tell you that much right now. That team's going to get off to a pretty good start, I feel.
Don't know about that, but they'll be fun to watch.
Yeah,
absolutely. All right, let's get to everyone's Twitter here. So at Malkovich Plan for myself, Ryan, I keep forgetting yours.
Yep, I'm at Ryan. I'm sorry, I'm at Ryan_POD.
You have to get your throat checked out, man. You've been like hacking up there for a while.
Yeah, you know, I teach at a high school, and I need to get a flu shot, so.
Okay. I'm at Alex_Reno. Pretty simple there.
Very nice. I'm at Jerry Mallory NFL. I just got on Twitter, I think a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago. So check me out. I got like 20 followers. I'm looking for at least 25.
Yeah. About a week ago.
Well, we're going to add, I'm going to add you right. Jerry Mallory NFL, you're up to like 53.
Hey, 54 now.
The 55. Slow ascension, baby.
All right, prideofdetroit.com, at Pride of Detroit on Twitter, Pride of Detroit on Facebook. Let's get out those reviews onto iTunes, get those rolling. So have some things that are nice to say, unlike on my college football podcast where people call me a blasphemer.
Yeah, well, they're not wrong. I'm just kidding.
Apparently. Goodbye, everyone. We'll see you next week. Go Lions. And hopefully we'll be talking about another victory because it feels good.
See you guys.
Adios.